Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Second hour is underway on this Thursday. We are getting you ready for the Redskins and the Falcons. Kenny Albert will be on the call of the broadcast tonight on the Redskins Broadcast Network. Of course, come the fall, you'll be watching him call games every Sunday on Fox. And a longtime friend of the show is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline now. Kenny, great to have you back on Grant and Danny. It's been an entertaining couple of games so far, and tonight is what we like to call the dress rehearsal. You might even get to call starters for a full half in Atlanta, eh?
Well, we hope so. That's usually what you see in the third preseason game. I know the Falcons, it sounds like they'll use a lot of their starters. It's actually their fourth game. They had the Hall of Fame game 3 weeks ago. Matt Ryan only played last week for the first time. So usually in the third preseason game, you see more of the starters than you do in the other three.
What are you spotlighting tonight? What do you hope to see from the Redskins? Obviously, we want no injuries. That's sort of the nature of the preseason. But what are some of the areas that you guys are going to be focusing on the telecast?
Well, at the top of the show, we'll be focusing on some of the position battles. Running back is one. Defensive line, you know, some of the young guys up front have stood out. But really throughout the broadcast, you know, you try to talk about some of those guys who are on the bubble. And just was with my partner, Joe Theismann, a little while ago. And you know, we were talking about the fact that a couple of years ago, the NFL changed, the cut situation in preseason. There used to be cuts midway through preseason, and then you'd finally cut down to 53 at the end. Well, now you have 90 men on the roster until the day or two after, a couple of days after that fourth preseason game. So all of a sudden, in about 10 days, you'll have over 1,000 guys on the street looking for jobs. So the players that we'll see tonight, you know, some of the backups, third, fourth stringers, they're not only looking to win a job on the Redskins and the Falcons, but on 30 other teams as well, because the film's out there and every other team's going to be watching. And that's a pretty hectic weekend. The weekend right after all the preseason games are Thursday next week, and then the cuts on Saturday, and there's a lot of jockeying going on for guys. And if you have injuries in that fourth preseason game, trying to fill those final roster spots as well as the practice squad.
Obviously, the top of the running back depth chart that Kenny Albert was just referring to is pretty set. Darius Geis, Adrian Peterson, Chris Thompson are all in. The question is on the back end, how many do you keep, and who's the fourth or fifth guys in that pecking order? Samaje Perine, Byron Marshall, Sean Wilson, Craig Reynolds. Among them, Bryce Love is not healthy enough to start the year. Darius Geis is going to be on the field tonight. Your first crack at calling a Darius Geis performance since he tore his ACL in game one last year. I know that's a needle-moving story for our listening audience. What have the Redskins been saying about Geis?
Well, it sounds like we'll get to see him tonight for the first time since that injury, the torn ACL, suffered up in New England in the first preseason game last year. So it sounds like everybody's excited about finally seeing Geis out on the field. And, you know, you mentioned a guy like Marshall. You know, do they keep four running backs? Do they keep five? Who's the return man going to be? We've seen Marshall used on special teams on returns. Unfortunately, Sean Wilson suffered the injury last week during that punt return for a touchdown in the fourth quarter by the Cincinnati Bengals. Obviously, you mentioned Peterson and Chris Thompson, their locks. But as far as the others, we'll see how it plays out. Hopefully, Geis has a good showing tonight, and we'll see how the return game solidifies itself. And if Marshall winds up making the roster due to the fact that he's number one on the depth chart as the kick returner.
Kenny Albert's our guest. Hear him on the call tonight. When the Redskins take on the Atlanta Falcons, third preseason game for the Skins. Kenny, the young receivers, there's been a lot of ballyhoo, a lot of talking about those guys, whether it's Terry McLaurin, Cam Sims, Calvin Harmon, who drew the worst pass interference penalty I've ever seen last week. Robert Davis has a couple preseason touchdowns. What are we looking for them tonight in this dress rehearsal? Do you think the hierarchy of what it's going to be like in the regular season will shake out?
Well, hopefully we get to see McLaurin tonight. He's only been in for one or two snaps. I know he suffered the injury last week, so looking forward to seeing McLaurin. Kidzie's had some nice catches, especially in the first game in Cleveland. Trey Quinn's had some injury issues, obviously. You mentioned Harmon and Sims, both Sims, Cam and Steven, and Josh Doctson, the veteran of the group, along with Robert Quick. And Robert Davis has two catches, and they've both been long touchdowns. So there seems to be a lot of depth at that position, and we'll see how it plays out over the next couple of weeks. But I think, you know, the coaching staff has to be excited about what they've seen from guys like Davis and Kidzie. And, again, looking forward to seeing McLaurin out there tonight.
Kenny Albert, Joe Theismann on the call this evening of the Redskins and the Falcons in Atlanta. Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Kenny, as far as the rest of the division, and I know you're kind of just getting elbow deep into your research now as you get ready for the start of the year, but the expectations in Philly for Carson Wentz are sky high after they moved on from Nick Foles. The Cowboys right now are without Ezekiel Elliott. A lot of people feel like they're a playoff-bound team. What's your feel on the NFC East at this juncture?
Well, it'll certainly be interesting. You know, whenever NFC East teams get together in the regular season, you can kind of throw out the records. Eagles obviously coming off a Super Bowl 2 years ago. The Cowboys with the Elliott holdout, as you mentioned. You know, we'll see what happens there over the next couple of weeks. The Giants drafting Daniel Jones, and I know, you know, we talked about it last week. John Mara, their owner, came out and said that a successful season to me would be if Daniel Jones doesn't even play, because with Eli Manning starting the season, if the Giants have success, Jones won't get off the bench. Yet he's had a very good preseason. Trading Odell Beckham Jr., Giants have a lot of questions at the wide receiver position. Golden Tate suspended for the first 4 weeks. Saquon Barkley coming back for his second year, coming off a tremendous rookie year. But defensively, there are a lot of question marks. They lost Landon Collins, obviously, to the Redskins and a couple of others. So I think it'll be a terrific division. You know, Redskins get up against that schedule within the NFC East right off the bat, and looking forward to seeing how it all plays out.
Kenny, for rookie quarterbacks, and we've done so much Dwayne Haskins debating about what's the best practice, when he should take the field, and obviously it's got to vary case by case. For every, you know, Deshaun Watson started right away, there's a guy that started right away that was bad. Or for every Pat Mahomes, there's a guy that sat for a long time and wasn't any good. What do you think is right now the best practice for getting rookie quarterbacks up to speed to give them the best chance at success in the NFL?
Well, it's probably different on a team-by-team case. You mentioned Mahomes. He sat for a year behind Alex Smith. You know, you go back 12 or 13 years, Aaron Rodgers sat for pretty much 3 years behind a future Hall of Famer in Brett Favre. Eli Manning didn't start until week 10 of his rookie season. So I think in every case, you could see both sides. You know, some teams, they have the opportunity to start the rookie right from the outset, right from the start. Other teams, perhaps that's not the case. You know, you think back to David Carr with the Houston Texans, and I think they set a record for the number of times he was sacked that first year. Now, they were an expansion team, so there wasn't really anywhere else to go. They drafted the rookie quarterback and threw him in there right away, but looking back, maybe it would have been better to have a veteran to start for that first season. You know, there are so many other examples. Donovan McNabb in Philadelphia, he didn't start until midway through his rookie year back in 99. Doug Peterson, now the head coach of the Eagles, was the starter, and Donovan got to sit and watch, and there's definitely something to that, to a rookie quarterback learning and spending those extra 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 weeks behind a veteran who's had some success in the league and just playing it, you know, taking it slowly over the first half of that rookie season.
Kenny Albert, watch him tonight with Clinton Portis on the sideline with Joe Theismann alongside. Sean McVay and the Rams are actually, again, foregoing, it looks like, the preseason entirely for many of their starters. Will that become a trend, as some are alleging, or do you think that'll kind of be the minority of the contenders if the league doesn't take it in their own hands and negate a couple of the games?
Well, it really started with the Patriots about 10 years ago when Belichick, I think, in the fourth preseason game against Jacksonville, whatever year it was, sat everybody. None of the starters played, and you know, you could kind of see both sides. You don't want injuries. We've seen some injuries take place during this preseason, knocking guys out for the season, but it could also happen in practice. It could happen in week one. The Jets, for example, Le'Veon Bell won't play in the preseason. Barkley hasn't played and probably won't for the Giants. So I think coaches feel like their guys get enough reps in practice and in intra-squad scrimmages, and why take the chance of them getting hurt out on the field against another opponent? You know, you feel bad for the fans who pay for the tickets and are watching the games on TV. But from a coaching standpoint, you can certainly understand why they do it.
Kenny, enjoy it tonight, man. Thanks as always for the time today. Have a great call.
Thanks, guys.
Kenny Albert, always enjoyable on Grant and Danny. Looking forward to seeing him when they open the telecast this evening. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan at the bottom of the hour at 11:30. Hugh Douglas, who for a long time competed against the Redskins with the Philadelphia Eagles, he now does radio like we do in Atlanta.
He's one of us.
He's going to join us to break down the Falcons, who a lot of people feel like are a sleeping giant in the NFC South. Matt Ryan primed for a huge season. We'll get into Scherzer's return next. Also, I've got a little issue, nothing major, but something that I need you to help me with, Danny.
Ooh, is it someone explained to me, or is it a I got a problem?
No, it's something that I am debating in my personal life.
Okay.
That I need to give an answer to my significant other when I get home today.
Okay.
And I need your help. It's a little bit sports related, though.
I can help you.
If you're not confused yet, just wait.
I can help you with that.
Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Before we get into the return of Max Scherzer and how it could potentially impact the bullpen. So here's what I needed your help with. Today, Allison's going over to some framing place in Georgetown. I don't know what framing place it is in Georgetown.
It's probably close to me. I think I know the spot.
Or why we're going to one in Georgetown, which presumably is more expensive than one somewhere else, but she tells me that that's not the case.
Okay.
So anyway, long story short, I think we're getting a couple things framed that are going to be put up on our wall at the house. But because she's going to do that, I said, listen, I got a bunch of jerseys that I've picked up along the process of building up some memorabilia. I want to get framed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm being told is it's going to cost around $250 to frame these things.
Uh-huh.
That's actually not a bad price if you're into the framing
jerseys. If you're in the frame game. Yeah.
It's not terrible. So it's expensive enough, though, that I'm not going to have like all the jerseys that I want framed. Basically, I'm not a autographs guy at all, but I like to collect memorabilia items. And what I do is, a lot of times if I go to like an event, like the one that we emceed over the weekend, the Scherzer Showdown, I'll bid on certain things that I think would look cool in my current way too small man cave, or ideally one day when I get a real big basement, like an awesome man cave. So one of the things that I have that I want to get framed is a signed Max Scherzer Nats jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Another is a signed Max Scherzer All-Star Game jersey from last year. Neither is game-worn. They're just both his jerseys that have been signed. So I want to get those framed and kind of put in nice glass. I think it would look really cool.
Yeah.
Those are no-brainers to me.
Okay.
Here is my question. Again, it costs a couple $100.
Sure, it's not free.
I've already basically tapped out how much I want to spend, like $500. I was hoping I could get four or five things framed for that and just be done with it. But that's the two jerseys that I'm getting framed.
Okay. So you've got the Scherzer
Nats and the Scherzer Nats All-Star Game from last year, like home Nats jersey.
Okay.
And again, they're just you could purchase them and he'd sign them. I got them at these events. So it's not game worn or anything. But there's a couple of other jerseys I'm considering framing, and I need to know if you think they are worth framing at that price.
You want to know if they're sponge worthy, basically.
There's three.
Okay.
In order. The first is my game-worn Bo Porter.
Game-worn Bo Porter.
Bo okay. Porter, now of Masson Television, at one point in time, third base coach, Washington Nationals. And that was a purchase of a game-worn Bo Porter because I knew no one else would have it, and I'm a hipster.
That's a hipster Paulson jersey.
Do I get that framed at the tune of $250? That's the question.
I'm going to say a gentle no to that.
Okay.
For $250, I would almost rather just lose that $250 and have a funny story about how I lost it than actually get a Bo Porter jersey framed.
All right.
That's just me, though.
The only thing I would say is, because I think you're probably right, and my current plan is not to get it framed.
Right. That you're leaning towards no on that.
I'm leaning heavily towards no.
Okay.
But having that jersey just hanging in my closet to never be seen again does it no good. It's almost a sunk cost right now.
Uh-huh.
The whole reason I got that jersey is so someone can ask me.
It's a conversation piece. Porter.
Why do you have a Porter jersey?
And
who
you go,
is
exactly.
That? And I could say, because I'm a jersey hipster, and that was their third base coach. That was kind of the whole deal. So if I get it framed and it's on my wall, it's actually executing the plan. Does that make any sense?
It's
an attention-seeking
move. For a bit.
Okay.
It's a long way for a bit.
Next, a game-worn Sean Kelly jersey.
Ah, now
Sean
this
Kelly,
one, yep.
Friend of the program, who we owe cowboy boots. He might never get them, but we owe them cowboy boots. He, of course, left Washington after slamming his hat down on the ground and getting booted out of D.C. when
the
he and Mike
slam.
Rizzo got into it in the clubhouse after that game. Is it worth framing the Sean Kelly?
That's closer to it for me. Because, as you said, Sean Kelly, friend of the program. And what a cool way to commemorate that. What a cool way to
$250
sort of
is not cheap.
$250 is not cheap. That's a long way for a bit, but this is less of a hipster situation than he came on, we made a bet with him that we somehow never paid off, and let's not talk about that part of it. But yeah, like, we're good.
So you're going to go with Kelly more worth it than Porter?
Yeah, so far the most worth it to me is the game-worn Kelly jersey.
Okay. Last one. This is the third.
Uh-huh.
This one is a little bit more difficult.
Okay.
This is a signed jersey.
Right. So it's a signed.
This was a Christmas present.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoyed this Christmas present.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm a jersey guy in the basement. I don't wear them anymore, really, but signed jerseys, great. Josh Norman signed the jersey. Now, here's the caveat. Obviously, his time in Washington has not gone as well, maybe, as we would have hoped.
Mm.
There's also this. He doesn't like me at all. Now, that's perfectly fine. Like, to me, not an issue. I think that shouldn't be a factor. But, like, yesterday I was like, I think I'll give you the Norman jersey to take over there. And she goes, really? Doesn't he hate you? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, you want to put that up on the wall? It's like, I now have a signed Josh Norman jersey. What do I do with it?
What do you do with that? For me, I would auction it off.
I also think, by the way, like, if I just have a bunch of Nats jerseys on my wall, then it's just
Nats
section.
Where's your variety?
This is a beautiful burgundy Redskins jersey that would look sick behind that glass hanging on a wall.
Can I throw something at you?
Yeah, please.
And I want to see if you like it. You don't like it, you throw it right back. Here's the conversation I would have if I'm you with my lady wife.
Mm-hmm.
I would go, he doesn't like me.
Right.
We have pretty good documentation.
And by the way,
it's all relative.
He may not care at all about me. There was an interaction after a game that made it very clear he was upset with me about something I had said.
Let's say at a minimum, he you're not on his Christmas list.
Correct.
At a minimum, he doesn't care for you. Yeah?
Yeah.
So whether dislike, that's active, maybe just a passive, I don't care about grandpa's,
right.
Whatever, right? But let's say for the sake of argument, he doesn't like me. Who's the bigger man? Who's the guy that rises above that?
Again.
What a testament to my character. Me, Grant H. Paulson, at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. I conduct polls every day, and I put up jerseys of guys that don't like me.
But honestly, for me, like, this isn't even the least bit personal.
This is my point.
He shouldn't like me. I wouldn't like someone whose job it is to critique me every step of the way, who is, I would say, about a third of the time, or maybe a quarter of the time. No, probably 30 to 35% negative. Because I do think he is underachieved, and I think that there are times where he needs to do more. So he doesn't need to like me. I don't take that personally. The question is that jersey worthy of wall status based on the run here in Washington to this point? If it wasn't signed, it's a non-starter. It's not even a debate. I wouldn't even own it, honestly. It was given to me as a gift as a signed jersey. Does it make the wall?
Well, it's not as if any of these three guys had, like, Ring of Honor type runs in Washington. No, to me, that's not what it's about.
But Bo Porter, great story, unique hipster.
It's who you
Sean
are.
Sean Kelly, my guy. Still text with him all the time. Still keeping close touch with him. Love Sean Kelly. Josh Norman, $75 million man, brought to Washington, kind of a garrulous, talkative guy who's known all over the country. And again, the difference, that one signed. It would just look good behind glass as a signed jersey.
Here's my order. Number one, Josh Norman. Number two, Sean Kelly, even though he's our boy. I just think that variety is nice. And then anything else you want framed, like a fingernail, an eyelash from your baby, a discarded food item, something that you really liked, like a picture of a wing that you ate in 1998.
Right.
A thousand items, then the Bo Porter jersey in terms of framing.
That's your order.
That's my order.
Would you frame any of them?
I would not, because that's a lot of money.
It is.
But if it's burning a hole in your pocket.
It's certainly not burning any holes. It's just, I wouldn't even own the Norman jersey that's signed if it wasn't a gift, and it was a cool gift at the time.
It's a good gift.
And now it's gotten more uncomfortable a gift since. But I think it'll look good on the wall. By the way, I haven't told you this.
It's the Grand Hall of Fame. It's a museum.
My basement wall is painted a dark, like a deep burgundy.
It's a deep burgundy.
It's the whole basement is painted deep burgundy as like the man cave with all the bottles and everything.
Do the Norman bit.
I think
because
it looks good.
Again, it's a museum. In however many years, you're talking to President Reagan. Like this is a man that didn't like your daddy. This is the time of my life that happened.
I don't think it's going to make the conversations with my daughter. I don't know if it's that serious.
Maybe it's a conversation piece with somebody else. Because what better conversation than Josh Norman? You know, funny story about Josh Norman. I asked him a question. He refused to answer it.
Right. He was really mad because I thought he should be covering number one wide receivers because he gets paid $15 million a year. But Papa, should he be paid that much money if he's a guy who covers number one wide receivers only? Yes, British kid.
Yes, British child.
You're right. It just seems like common sense, Papa. If you get that much money, shouldn't you fall around at number one?
Well, but today,
yes.
He's more expected.
You're right, little kid, but the league has changed, apparently.
Apparently. Or he may have asked but was told no at one point. Now we're not even sure. Like, he sent his old email address.
Hugh Douglas. He's a ball player. I don't have any of his jerseys to hang on the wall. He did some damage against the Redskins
in his
career. He joins us next to break down the Falcons. He covers them in Atlanta now. Brant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Redskins Falcons kickoff tonight in Atlanta. Pumped to talk to Hugh Douglas of the John and Hugh Show mornings in Atlanta on 92.9. Of course, Hugh Douglas used to torch the Redskins. I got to be honest, there was a time in our lives where we weren't big fans of yours here in D.C., Hugh, but you're doing big things post-career. We appreciate a couple of minutes. How you been?
Hey, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. You know what? I didn't too much like D.C. either. I did like the cheerleaders, though, to walk through the tunnel and see the beautiful women that represented D.C. as Washington Redskins cheerleaders. I do appreciate that. So you know, I had great love for Washington.
12.5 sacks, 15 sacks, 9.5, 12.5 as part of a legendary run with the Eagles. And I'm pretty sure all but two of those were against the Redskins.
I just didn't like how comfortable you were in the backfield. You shouldn't have been there that much, Hugh.
You know what, man? Listen, the most fun we had playing the Redskins was the year that Spurrier was the head coach.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
No. A lot of people had fun.
I mean,
no disrespect to coach, but, you know, he came in and, you know, you guys were talking about that funny gun. And, you know, the fact that we hated the Washington Redskins, that just made it all the more sweeter to go down there and to be able to, you know, put it on y'all like that. But, hey, man, let me tell you, it was some great battles against the Washington Redskins. Chris Samuels, I still have nightmares about that cat.
Yeah, he's just getting inducted now into the Redskins Ring of Honor, and it's amazing. You know, he had such an epic career and was an icon here in town for a while at left tackle. And we don't think about it this way, but looking at it now with Trent Williams and Jason Peters, the age they're at, Chris Samuels probably had another four or five dominant seasons ahead of him, if not for some of those back and neck issues he had.
Man, listen, Chris Samuels was my nightmare. I remember one time y'all came to Philadelphia and played us. And, man, me and him was going at it, and he hit me so hard on one play that he bust my chin. He busted wide open, and I had to get stitches on the sideline during the game. That he was no joke. He was really no joke.
So funny, though, that he remembers the Spurrier year.
I remember that. It was awesome.
I'll tell you why he remembered it, because Steve Spurrier despised blocking for his quarterback.
He didn't believe in it.
Let's just send everyone out in routes and try to throw the ball down the field. Poor Patrick Ramsey would just get dragged across the field every week.
Yeah, man. You know, in this league, at this level, you have to block for the quarterback. You know, and having a good running game helps, but you got to be able to block for the QB, man, because you're going to get him killed.
Hugh Douglas is with us here on Grant and Danny, and I got to do this, GP. We share something special. It's happening tomorrow. Happy early birthday, Hugh. It is my birthday as well tomorrow. So happy birthday to you, man. I appreciate you joining us today.
Hey, well, thank you. Thank you so much. You know what? I forgot how old I was going to be. Somebody had to remind me.
This could be very awkward and uncomfortable, but I want to guess how old you're turning, if that's okay, Hugh.
I'm turning 40 tomorrow, so it's older than me.
Okay. He's older than you?
Yeah, he's older than me.
Hugh Douglas, I'm going to say, is going to be turning 44 years old.
48.
Damn!
48.
Yeah, but if you ask my ex-wife, she'll probably say 13.
I guess that's why that ex got thrown in there.
My current wife has a similar sentiment. Hugh, let's get into this Falcons club. They take the preseason really seriously. And by really serious, I mean not at all. They don't win preseason games, and it doesn't matter. I really like this Falcons team this year. I think they're a great bounce-back candidate. I think some of the injured guys, especially in the middle of that defense coming back, I think they're dangerous in that South. Just give me your overall impression of them.
I think that's the case as well. You know, like you're talking about 11 straight preseason game losses. I think the biggest thing that Coach Quinn wants to take away from the preseason is he wants to make sure everybody executes. You know, the funny thing about it, you have some teams that go into the preseason and they want to win preseason games because they're in a different position. They want to build confidence. I don't think Coach Quinn looks at it that way. You know, he wants to go out there. He wants to see precision. He wants to see execution. He wants to see how guys do in individual settings, because you know, in the first couple of preseason games, that's what it's all about. It's a man whoop a man. You line up and you want to see who can play at this level against these elite athletes. Now, this is a game where normally you get a little bit more game planning that's involved, and you try to see how guys do and how much of this offense or defense that they're going to retain. So it's going to be a little different game tonight, but for the most part, Coach Quinn wants to go out there and see who's going to make mistakes and who's going to go out there and execute.
What's the sentiment on Matt Ryan in Atlanta? I was listening to radio the other day around the country, and when they were going through all the quarterbacks, they talked about Ryan as if, you know, he's got something to prove this year. This dude puts up numbers every season, has been an MVP, has been to a Super Bowl, might make the Hall of Fame. I hate that he doesn't have a ring, so he's not good enough thing. But if this is kind of what his career is, he's 34 now and he never wins a championship, he can retire knowing he was one of the best of his era, right?
Yeah, and you know what's funny? We were talking about this the other day, and I tell anybody that will listen, if you're going to tell me that Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback, if that's the argument that we're having, then Matt Ryan is one as well. You're talking about a guy who's played four less years. If you look at his numbers, they rival Phillip Rivers' numbers. And if you want to talk about playoff wins, Matt Ryan has been to the playoffs. He's been to the Super Bowl. He has more of a playoff resume than Phillip Rivers. So if that's the argument you're going to make with me, then you need to put Matt Ryan in that same category as far as Hall of Fame quarterbacks are concerned.
So, Hugh, as you look at this matchup, and again, it's a preseason game, so we're not necessarily worried about wins, losses, and things like that. And you're talking about the coach putting guys in positions.
We got to set the tone, Danny.
Well,
we got to learn how to win around here.
Somebody has to win at some point. But for me, matchup-wise, so as you guys are looking at the Falcons, what they need to prove and certain guys in kind of various adverse situations coming from the preseason, who are some of the matchups and some of the guys you look for the Redskins to be able to give a true test to your own Falcons, if that makes sense?
Man, listen, Matt Gonneau is a guy that for the Falcons is going to be playing, his right tackle tonight. If I'm not mistaken, he's going to be at that right tackle spot. My left, but the Falcons right, Matt Ryan's right. So I think, you know, going against Ryan Kerrigan, that might be a matchup nightmare for him, because if you saw the tape from last week, Quinnen Williams gave him that work. He was administering that work. He looked like Thanos out there trying to fight the Avengers. So that's the one That's the one matchup that I would look at and how they're going to adjust to that. Because, you know, like I said, last week, we just came here. Coach Williams blitzed a lot. So I want to see how the Falcons pick up the blitz.
That division has a chance to be a
really
juggernaut
good.
Again. It's the hardest division, in my opinion, year in and year out to predict. I kind of separate the Bucks right now and say they're not that close. But how do you sort out the other big three in the South?
I would say right now, because of what they were able to do last year, the class of the South has to be the Saints with Drew Brees there and what they were able to do. You know, Drew Brees is the ageless wonder. A lot of people talk about how he doesn't have the same velocity on the ball and how he doesn't do this and doesn't do that. He looks good to me. You know, smart guy. There's not too many situations that he hasn't seen. So I would probably go there first. Then coming in second would be Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons, obviously, for the weapons that we have. You know, Calvin Ridley is a guy that we really don't talk a whole lot about. You know, Julio Jones is the tip of the spear for this offense. But Calvin Ridley is a young man that's coming along. And then I would probably say Carolina. There's some questions about Cam Newton, you know, with that shoulder coming back from that. There was even talk before the season started whether or not Cam Newton was going to be ready for the beginning of the season. So I think there's a little bit of a concern there. And, of course, Tampa Bay. Jameis Winston coming off the season that he had where, you know, he lost his starting job to Ryan Fitzpatrick. And they were doing that quarterback carousel a little bit. And there were some questions of whether or not he was going to be there. So I think that's how the division shapes up as of right now.
Hugh, there's a guy that baffles me, and there's nobody better to ask about this than you as a former pass rusher, Hugh Douglas, on Grant and Danny. What the heck's going on with Vic Beasley? He had 15 and a half sacks a couple years ago. I thought he was going to be the next dude in this league. And the last 2 years, he's got 10 sacks combined. What happened?
I think it's a combination of them asking Vic Beasley to do multiple different things. I think Vic Beasley's a victim of his own athleticism. You know, when you have guys like, you know, like I put him in that Jason Taylor vein. And what I mean by that is, you know, Jason Taylor could get after the quarterback. We knew that. But Jason Taylor was one of those athletic individuals that you could put anywhere on the field and he could be effective. I think Vic Beasley kind of suffers from that a little bit because you look at his athleticism, look at his size, and he's a guy that you could drop him in the coverage. He could play a little bit of linebacker. He could play pass rusher. So he's been asked to do multiple different things every year. They didn't have 15 and a half sacks. Yeah, everybody was going crazy over that. But as you know, when you're picked, where he's picked the ninth pick overall, and you're supposed to be the pass rusher, you're supposed to get after the quarterback. And Coach Quinn talked about it early on how it wasn't too much of an emphasis on getting to the quarterback, but now it is. Now you have to get to the quarterback. Ty McKinley's another guy that's in that boat. You look at him, look like he was going to have a breakout year. He got kind of, you know, stymied a little bit. Both of these guys are guys that are going to be looked at to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback and hopefully be in the vein of that Seattle Seahawks defense when they went to the Super Bowl and won it.
Hugh, this was awesome, man. Really appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight, buddy.
Hey, thanks. You guys enjoy the game as well.
Appreciate you. He killed that segment like he killed Redskins guards and centers.
Just so comfortable in the backfield.
Chris Samuels may have had a couple of moments against him, but Hugh Douglas spent a lot of time sacking Redskins quarterbacks.
And they were hard hits, too. You know what I mean? It wasn't the gentle, please go to the ground, sir. It was, get down there and shut up.
I have a man crush on him.
Dude, he's awesome.
He was really cool.
He's so good.
Well done. And he dropped a Thanos reference, which was right up my alley.
He's like, who's my audience? Fat nerd on the right? Yeah, he'll like that.
The double play is next on Grant and Danny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is time, though, for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sport. And I'll just jump in real quick and do this fast and get it out of the way, Danny, but it is kind of relevant to what I was just saying. We'd be remiss if we didn't wish Bob Carpenter all the best.
Yes, absolutely.
I read a piece in the Washington Post last night that he is leaving the road trip in Pittsburgh, and the reason Pete's actually calling the game today, and Dave Jagler sliding over to television, you may have noticed that Dave's been calling some more games on TV recently. Bob's wife is dealing with a health issue and a scare where she had a tumor in her leg, I believe is what I read. And they're hoping, and they don't believe that it's malignant, but they've been dealing with that. And Bob is leaving the team from time to time. He was quoted as saying the Nats and Masson have been great. But this is a guy that from the beginning has been calling Nationals games on television here in D.C. and who we welcome into our homes night in and night out. He's a mensch. We see him at the ballpark all the time. A really, really good guy, regular guest on the show. So to him, to his wife, to their family, we're thinking about you.
Yeah, good thoughts,
and,
for sure.
And all the best and health to Mrs. Carpenter. And hopefully he's back in the booth doing what he loves very soon. It is time for Danny's Double Play.
I echo those sentiments, and it's far more important than what I'm going to do here. NASA's preparing for a gargantuan asteroid that is barreling towards our neighborhood in the next 10 years. Elon Musk, who's already sent things into space, we have no defense, neither do the scientists. He has made that very clear. The monstrous Apophis asteroid, which is the nickname, the colossal god of chaos after the ancient Egyptian god Apophis, which was, of course, the god of chaos. The Doomsday Rock is nearly 1,500 feet long and captured the attention of, I don't know, scientists, SpaceX founder Elon Musk, and thousands of others. The team is working very hard. Just know that there's nothing we can do. It's bigger than the Eiffel Tower in terms of height. Again, it's 1,500 feet wide. It would collide with the Earth, according to a couple different models, off the southeast coast of the United States in the Atlantic Ocean. Shockwave waves would be felt as far west as Kansas. Tsunamis, equivalent to 65,000 times the nuclear blast that landed in Hiroshima, would, of course, cause chaos into the world. The one model, produced by a couple different scientists, believed that after the impact caused the tsunamis, debris and rocks would go back into space because the force of the impact would be so strong, and there'd be only so many places that the actual fire rocks of death could go, and those would crash back down to Earth because of gravity and everything spinning in the form of flaming meteorites. So the after effects of the tremors and shock would be almost as devastating as the initial impact. We wouldn't be around to see it because obviously the whole world is going to end, especially ours. But if we were around to see it, that would hurt an awful lot. April 13th, 2029 is the date according to this model. No guarantees that it happens, but it's a reminder that we're not prepared. We need to be. These threats are the most real thing that we should be and can be dealing with. We can do better. We can't stop everything. Detection is the first line of defense. The second is to figure out a way to save human life. It's the most important challenge facing our planet. Space rocks of death are out there. They're prevalent. The latest and greatest, the city killer asteroid known as the God of Chaos, Apophis, about 10 years away.
So April 13th, 2029, that's the date.
That is, according to this model from NASA.
Yeah.
NASA, by the way, not like a dude. NASA is the date. 25,000 miles per hour.
So, a couple of things. My first thought would be, bet it doesn't hit us. Let me know if it does. That's how I'll start this conversation.
Right. It's something. It's a good bet that it won't hit us.
It's a great bet. It's not going to. And we're going to be just fine. That's number one. Number two, supposedly we can't find these things and we never know they're coming. We only have 3,522 days, a heads up, before this one hits us. We really need to get better at knowing that these things might be a risk to us because a decade from now, we might get hit by this one that we're already tracking.
I bet your plans change.
Well, we never get hit. Wait, what's that to my ear? 2013 we did, and hundreds of people were injured, and a city was destroyed in Russia, one that we never saw coming. Just ask the folks of Chelyabinsk if everything's A-okay.
But this one we can see 10 years ahead of time.
10 years in advance.
Yeah, this one we can because it's big enough.
One that's big enough to really matter, we're going to see it coming. Trust me.
This one we see.
Hundreds of people get injured when a car goes off the road in traffic, okay? That happens from time to time. I didn't see that coming either. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the car under the guardrail and all of the rubbernecking behind that led to all the little collisions and all those people got treated for little back injuries. So that can happen in all kinds of capacities when you don't see it coming. We have 3,522 days in advance of this to prepare, number one, and number two, or to not prepare and just to let it fly past us.
I like the not preparing angle.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Ignorance is blissful.
Remember, too, that if, in fact, it looks bad, if it does look like, let me know 50 days out if we're about to get hit, I will prepare my team. My team led by Bruce Willis, who once played Harry Stamper in a film, who
years
is now
ago.
Trained,
mm-hmm.
just like someone who trains in a car, driving in a movie, to now drive those cars in real life. I will send him and I will send Steve Buscemi and some other guys up. We will send a nuke into that rock, We will shoot it into two halves. We'll shoot it into two halves, and they will narrowly miss Earth on each side, just kind of flying to the left.
Remember,
I'll say due east.
Geniuses
and to the right,
in our own, in their own time are always mocked,
and we'll be just fine.
Remember, genius gets mocked in its own time. It's not till much later we realize Galileo was a forethinker.
Hey, Grant.
Yes.
How many passing yards do you think Dwayne Haskins is going to have in his 10th year as an NFL quarterback?
It's tough to predict now, Thom, but I'm going to say 4,263.
Well, that's the spring. This is when this hits. So it's a great big zero. It's a goose egg. He's
tell
not going to make it to the fall.
I'll be there for week one, 2030. I'll be sitting there at FedEx. Danny won't.
Do you think it's still going to be FedEx?
Oh, that's a good point. It might
it's
not
a lock.
Be.
It will be. Well, no municipality wants them.
I'll say this. If it's still FedEx, we won't be a station anymore. Because the Redskins will have so few fans that will have gone under. I'll be working. I want to work at Five Guys because I think they get free burgers and fries.
Oh,
so that'll
be
my
fat.
Plan. I don't know what you'll be doing.
I'll try. I'm going to try to like coach.
You're going to coach?
Yeah.
Danny will be a grandfather by then.
That's true.
I certainly hope not. My son would be 15.
15?
Yeah.
It's possible.
I certainly hope not. That would mean some bad decisions got made.
What if you're a grandpa guy? That'd be hilarious.
Not. It'd be funny to you guys.
Right, but I
outside
would,
looking in.
I would call you Grandpa Danny.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be tough for your pal if that happened. I'd be turning 50, by the way.
There was a hilarious line from, guess who? Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah.
Did I say his name right?
You did. You nailed it.
Okay. So this is the guy that gave us with an Uber, with a baby in the back, with a car seat with the baby in it. That guy?
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching him on Netflix the other night, and he slayed me. He was talking about how he's like, why do we call our grandpas and grandmas the weirdest bleep? He's like, this guy did two tours in a world war and beat up this person and that person. He's like, hey, Papa, Poopa. he like says like, poo-poo. Over here, you know, pee-pee over here. He's like, he makes up all these names for grandpa. It's just the best bit, but it's so true.
I know.
People have the weirdest names for their grandparents.
I never knew my dad's dad was Opa. That's what we did.
That's a weird one.
And then you go, and after this.
Isn't that like German for grandpa? What is that?
It's either French or German. I don't know.
Okay.
But I didn't really know what it was. But you just did that because you're introduced to that and you grow up with that. But then you realize I think I was 17 or 18. I go, what the hell's an opa? What's it? Was it Oopa Loompa? Why am I calling him that?
It's German for grandpa.
Yeah. Why isn't it grandpa or grandpapa?
I like the idea that you weren't sure if your grandpa was German or French too.
Well, I'm not saying I don't know what the word was because the French ancestry that I've got, and this is some deep dive. We're from a place called Alsace-Lorraine, which is the French-German border on the French side. Every time Germany swings by when they start expanding, that's the first place they go.
The French word for grandpa is papi. Looks like, or papi.
Allo, papi.
P-A-P-Y. That's probably
what it is. Papi.
Papi.
Je suis.
The Beltway Blitz is next. Papi and Opa here on The Fan.
You might as well enjoy the car that you drive. We've got about 10 years. I'd enjoy the heck out of the vehicle that you get. That's why you should go to Ted Britt Ford. Get a car you love at a price you love even more with the best buying experience in town. I love Ted Britt Ford. I've gone there three different times and had a great experience. I love it. And when I need my new car next, whenever that is, I'm going back to Ted Britt Ford. That's the business model. That's why they've been in business for 60 years, helping folks just like you and me, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. These guys are wonderful at what they do. Let them take care of you. When you buy from Ted Britt Ford, you get Ted Britt for Life. That's lifetime vehicle coverage, right? Ted Britt for Life means confidence for life, including powertrain, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair, nitro tire fill, and complimentary Virginia State inspection all for prices can't be beat with the best selection of new Fords and two first-class service facilities in Fairfax and Chantilly. That's right. They're in Fairfax and Chantilly. Go wherever's more convenient to you. Same great care. Same wonderful service. I love these guys. Go see them. Please help me. Thank you, sir.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.